Now, nothing has been as painful for me as teeth. And full disclosure, I had a teeth extraction last week. And trouble healing, so a little impromptu trip to the dentist this morning for no reason. I guess I was just worried for no reason, which is good. But yeah, why do pain hurt? I don't know. Welcome to Soccer Today for December 5th. I'm Kevin Laramie. Dwayne Rollins is on the line as always. Dwayne, today we're going to have a little bit of a news bits and bytes. Of course, it's MLS Cup week. And there's a lot of news that comes out of it. There's it was a press conference in Columbus today with the Haslam and Edwards family and the lawyer for the family talking to journalists, Patrick Murphy of the Massive Report, which we have on we had on the show a few times. You can follow his social media, where it's going to be a private and public partnership, and it's going to be announced in the next couple of days that it's going to be Save the Crew. And they're talking about the new facility with some community fields, MLS fields, the sharing of the stadium. A lot of positives in Columbus for what would be a rebirth of a franchise.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is kind of anticlimactic at this point. We started talking about Save the Crew about 13 months ago, 12, 13 months ago, right? So it was a long and winding road, but it eventually ended to a right place. The Crew were saved. There was a court case. They obviously they tried to block it with the Ohio law, the Modell law, that prevents people from, and that they were able to, the pre-court tried to stop them from even putting a case forward, and then the judge said, no, the case could go forward. I suspect it'll be dropped now that the Crew has, in fact, been saved. But nonetheless, that was an important sort of legal decision to sort of withhold the fact that the law was worth at least looking at a higher level, a higher court. So that was a decent thing that happened there. I don't know, Kevin, if you've been to Crew Stadium or not, I don't know. I have a couple times. It is in desperate need of a rental, for sure. I mean, this is a very 90s stadium in many ways. It makes me feel very old to think that the 90s are a long time ago, but they were.
Hey, wait, think about it. 1991, an example, was 27 years ago.
Yes, I'm aware. So nonetheless, it's a bench seating. It's there's not great exits and entry points in that stadium. There's no sort of the fancy stuff you see in modern stadiums like this. But that said, I think there's probably the potential to do stuff on that platform. I think it would be a shame to move away from Ohio State. And I know they've been talking about downtown, but I've always been curious why they don't consider that downtown. It's, if that's not downtown, then BMO isn't either, right? Like, if you know Toronto geography, it's not exactly like, you can't touch the CN Tower from BMO Field, but you're close. And it's the same thing there. It's by the universities and that, and there's a lot of property around it. I know there's a bit of a tailgating sort of culture down there that's tied in, obviously, to Ohio State that sort of spills over to the Crew. So it'd be a shame, I think, to move the location. And there's a potential to do stuff with that ground and that footprint and to do things with that stadium, kind of like they did with BMO Field over several years, to make it more reasonable for a place to play. It is a stadium that needs to be helped, but it can be helped, and thankfully the Crew will continue to be in Columbus, and now we can all stop pretending we're Crew fans and get back to
get back to the Trillium Cup rivalry, TFC Columbus. But if you want to know more about the subject, make sure you give Patrick Murphy on social media a follow. He writes for the Massive Reports. He does cover Ohio State too, and college football. There was a big announcement. Their coach is leaving. So if you are in the Columbus or Ohio area, make sure you subscribe to Pat Murphy's field. His timeline. His count. Him. Like, follow him.
Yeah, there you go. Words are hard.
Yeah, words are hard because a tooth that hurts. I'm going to blame the tooth for my ineptitude of talking the English language. I should always do that, so maybe it will help my reputation. Now, let's move on from the Columbus Crew to another team, the other side of the Atlantic, Newcastle United. There's been some rumblings, some positives and some not positive rumblings. Apparently, the owner, Mike Astley, is getting ready to sell the club. There's a few bids on the club already. And another news from Newcastle. Apparently, Newcastle is one of the frontrunners for Miguel Almirón, too. No, it's not going to be Arsenal for $13 million. We kind of figured that out, that it was a little bit cheap for Miguel Almirón, but Newcastle inquired about it for about $30 million. So Newcastle United, Dwayne.
Well, it was nice for Alphonso Davies to hold the record for a little while, but...
hold my beer, Alphonso.
Yeah, exactly. Almirón, look, that'd be a good signing for Newcastle. And I think more to the point, if you've been following that saga up there, well, for what, a decade now, Mike Ashley has sort of run that team into the ground in many ways. And it's, we've talked about this before, how there's such potential in Newcastle, you know, single club or single city club. Sunderland's very close, but they consider themselves very distinct from each other. So you have all of the support of Newcastle. You have sort of that historic look. And when I say historic, I mean, obviously it's a very old club, but more to the point, it sort of was very good and they were doing very well when the Premier League became the Premier League.
Yeah.
And that is important for the its perspective. And I think that's why you see bids in the 300 million pound range. So what's that?
650.
Million Canadian.
Yeah, it's like a billion Canadian almost. But it's a club, too, that has a big fan base for the recent success. And I just go back to when I started to take a look at the Premier League more closely. That would be, what, 2011, 2012. Before they went down, they were like a mid-table team, sometimes even higher than that. They had a great following. And it's kind of a shame that they had to go down. They came back up. And now with the Rafa Benitez over the last 2 years, You're kind of hoping for more success, and I guess that's the reason behind maybe going after Almirón. But if that club is being purchased by wealthy owners, it could maybe go back to its glory days.
Yeah, look, we always wonder what the cap is in those teams like that right now, because the sort of the top of the Premier League is so rich right now. I mean, Manchester City has money that no one can comprehend, let alone match. Chelsea's still very rich.
Chelsea's very rich, yes, but not like a City, not like a United almost. It's like Chelsea's a more of a, I would say, responsibly rich than it used to be, too. But then you have clubs like Tottenham, which are going to make a bunch of money if they can ever get that stadium finished, which is not sure yet when that will happen. But no, you're going to have a lot of money with a lot of owners.
No, for sure. But to get back to Newcastle, like obviously, if this sale happens, it's going to make Newcastle fans very happy. They've been trying to get Ashley out of that team for a while. He doesn't invest in it in the way that they'd like. He just doesn't have the money to do so, to defend him a little bit in that regards. This is a guy that kind of was a, you know, we use the 1.0, 2.0 stuff when we're talking about MLS all the time. And it's almost like we could use a 1.0, 2.0 kind of analogy when we're talking to the Premier League. He's kind of a 1.0 Premier League owner. If you're going to be successful, even, you know, may he rest in peace, even Leicester's owner is a guy that was not of lack of means. People talked about the Leicester City story as being this rags to riches team, and it was true in terms of their history, but they were incredibly wealthy, and they are, and that's why they've established themselves as kind of a mid-table team right now, because that's the level that they're at. And I think that's realistically where Newcastle could find themselves, maybe compete with an Everton, with a Leicester. We're seeing Bournemouth and clubs like that step up, but kind of consistently be in those Europa League battles, which they're apparently will be an additional Europa League spot open up in the near future in the Europa League 2, which is a bad name. They need to brand that better.
It should be the Europa League Championship and the Europa League League 1. No?
Yeah, something. I don't know. They need to brand it better. But nonetheless, so there'll be another European spot available for English teams. So it's something else to compete for nonetheless. And that's kind of the level I think they're at. But I think when you get there, you might be able, if you catch lightning in a storm every so often, like Leicester won the title, like Atletico Madrid won La Liga in 2015, I guess it was.
I believe so.
It happens occasionally. So, yeah, you just kind of want to put yourself in the position where you have a chance to be that team that catches lightning in a bottle in the, you know, every 10 years when it happens. And maybe they can do that with a little bit more investment in such an historic big club. But so popular, as we say, because they were, you know, they were like Leeds. But Leeds has fallen even further down, right?
Yeah.
Now we're,
they're on their way, you know, back up, you know. They're going to be back up next year, maybe, if they can get through the playoffs, which has been their problem over the last couple of years. Who knows?
Yeah.
Leeds back in the Premier League next year. I'm putting money on it.
Well, hell, you don't want to fall down there, those teams, right? And that's the other thing that you can say about Newcastle. Yeah, if you fall down, look at Aston Villa, which is as historic a club as you can get in England, that was original, that no one ever imagined for years. A European champion, won the European Cup, Aston Villa. they're now kind of stuck down there a little bit. They're doing well this year, but it's a battle for them to get back up. And if you get stuck in that championship muck, it is a spectacular league to follow in terms of, if you like parity, follow the championship. It's crazy that way. So you don't want to fall into that mess. Newcastle has always maintained its position where when it did fall down, it bounced straight up and usually quite easily. But it's a slippery slope. If you fall down too many times, eventually you can go the route of a Villa. You can go the route of a Southampton. You can go the route of Sunderland. The S teams. I mix them up. They're nowhere near each other geographically, but they sound like they should be.
One's are Black Cats and one's are Saints. The Saints are fine. The Black Cats ran out of lives.
Yeah, and well, exactly. Sunderland was a team that kind of was a yo-yo team, and then they had a nice little run up in the Premier League, and now they've fallen way down. Yeah.
Then they signed David Moyes. And then they got relegated.
Yes, although they look like they're going to get back up to the championship this year. But nonetheless, you don't want to get into that mess because it's, you know, if you want to be a Premier League club, just the fans might enjoy getting in that mess. And I've heard this. This is something that's coming up more and more is like, is it more fun to be in the championship competing to get promoted or is it than it is to be getting beat up 4-1 by the top teams in the Premier League? I don't know. That's philosophical for fans to decide for themselves. But business-wise, you want to be in the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also which type of fans are you? Like the fans that are going crazy on a day-to-day basis might like the fact that, okay, well, we're facing a historic club, we're in the championship, but we're winning games. But the Lehmans that likes to the glitz and glamour, if it's not the Premier League, they might go away too. So there's a lot of ups and downs. But no, it's an interesting aspect for Newcastle United if they will sell the club, if Mike Ashley will sell the club, if they'll able to spend money finally after making money in the last couple of transfer windows. Maybe Rafa Benitez will get the go-ahead to get players like Miguel Almirón in the upcoming transfer window and maybe give them a little bit more chance to stay up. And then a bit more chance to compete next year if they're able to pull off all those transactions. Now, let's come back to our side of the Atlantic, Dwayne. It's MLS Cup week, and there's been rumblings in Louisville. And if you're a resident of Louisville, you know that it's Louisville. It's not Louisville. It's a Louisville. Louisville, Kentucky, wants to come to MLS, and they have been in contact with Major League Soccer. Yes, it's for the future. It's for down the road. Maybe position 27th to 28th in that expansion process that could happen in the next 4 to 10 years, and they would be in that group, and they're looking to gather support in Louisville to have a team in Major League Soccer.
Next thing you're going to tell me, Kevin, is it's not pronounced New Orleans or Toronto.
No, it's New Orleans. It's Toronto.
There you go. yeah, this is an interesting one for me because, look, Louisville has been very successful at the USL level, and they have a great fan base down there, and they're doing kind of the same route Sacramento did. And we've talked a long time on this show since the show started as Soccer Today, for sure, if not back in the Two Solitudes day, of how Sacramento seems to get passed over and passed over and passed over because it's not a big market, and MLS, it's not sexy to MLS, and they keep, even though they have the great fans there and they have a decent stadium plan in place, Louisville has a stadium plan. They've already broken ground on it, so they're going the Rochester route to try and build it and they will come route, which is a little dangerous.
Just ask Quebec City and their non-existent hockey team how dangerous that route is.
Or the Hamilton with the Cops Coliseum, which is, they built a stadium, an arena in Hamilton, Ontario, with the idea that the NHL will come. They built it in the 80s. Now that arena is outdated.
It's the Hamilton Bulldogs, which is your most hated hockey team in the world, plays there.
And the MK Dons of the OHL,
MK Dons. MK Dons might get promoted next year. That's hilarious.
Exactly. Although Wimbledon's flying above them now. But
that's the other funny thing. Anyways, we're all over the place, but there you go.
Yeah, look, it's a good market. Where I have an issue with it is really just the expansion process, MLS, the inconsistency of the expansion process of MLS. And look, if you're just going to pick the best markets, just say that. Don't set up a farce sort of shell game where you like make these cities dance through hoops and, you know, juggle for you. Just say, like, apply, and we are going to consider these cities as we come, and we're going to make decisions moving forward, and we're not going to put timelines on it. And I think they're kind of doing that a little bit more now, rather than we're going to make two announcements now and we're going to make two announcements later, because that was the original plan, is they were going to expand by four teams.
Yeah.
And they were going to do that over the course of, you know, they didn't give an exact timeline, but they were going to expand by two and then wait and then do two more. Well, that's already at the window, because they brought in Miami finally. Honestly, I know there's a logo, and they have that, you can see them up there on the top of Major League Soccer.
I still don't believe it.
Yeah, until I see them kick a ball, I'm not going to totally believe that Miami's happening. But nonetheless, I mean, if you're just going to do an ad hoc version of expansion, then what the hell, do it. I know that it is, you know, there is a bit of a pyramid thing happening right now in terms of how this league is funding itself through expansion. That's dangerous, but, you know, that can work out as long as you manage it. So just do that if you're going to do that, but don't lie, is what I'm getting at, and don't string cities along. You don't hear about Sacramento as much anymore, and for years it was like, oh, Sacramento's next in, for sure, 100%. And I've been saying it for years, they could be the Raging Rhinos of the West. And the Raging Rhinos now barely exist as a professional team. They're going to start back up, no Raging, but just the Rhinos, are going to start back up as a USL 2 team next year, or USL Championship team. What are they calling it? I forget the branding right now. But
the Championship, League 1, League 2.
There you go. They're coming up as a League 1 team. League 2 is essentially the PDL rebranded. So they're going to be that new level they're creating. So that's a long fall down for a team that in 1998 everyone assumed was going to be a Major League Soccer team, yeah. And now they built a stadium and now no one came. So be careful, Louisville. But it'd be a good market, I think. And I think I like those markets to go into. I'd like to be in Sacramento as Major League Soccer, because I think that would be – there'd be a lot of passion there. I don't think you necessarily have – what is – Portland could win their second title this year. Portland is not – I mean, they have – the Blazers, so there is another professional team in the market, but it's not necessarily what you consider the top, you know, tier of American cities, but they kind of really embrace this sort of counterculture thing, which MLS still kind of is, and I think that Louisville would be the same thing. So I like the idea of going there. I don't like the process that seems to be going on, which is like, you know, whisper, don't tell anyone I'm saying this to you type stuff.
Yeah, and we all know there's going to be more cities like Louisville, who's going to have a chance to come to Major League Soccer. It did fly under the radar, but earlier this year, the Tampa Bay Rowdies were sold to the owners of the Tampa Bay Rays in Major League Baseball. And don't be surprised if eventually the MLS to St. Pete comes back and full force, with behind them, instead of having the Edwards family, behind them having Bill Edwards, maybe having the Tampa Bay Rays ownership, who wants to create a new big complex that does have a new baseball stadium and might include a soccer complex with that too. And then that in Sacramento was always going to be there, and you're going to have other cities like this in the United States that are going to battle for. Austin is going to have their team. So just like the official ones, Austin, Miami, Cincinnati, and Nashville. So already we're all the way up to 27. If because we're 23 right now, right? So we're 23 now. Add those fours in the next couple of years. It's already going to be time for Louisville, so 28. We're going to, before you know it, it's going to be 32, because I don't know if Don Garber in Major League Soccer looks at the top four North American soccer, the professional league, where you have 30 to 32 teams in every single one of them. Maybe that's the magic number that they feel they're successful if they can reach that.
Yeah, 32 is an obvious number, and because this is soccer, you could also look, you know, what's the next natural progression? Is a semi-open pyramid? You know, if you're going to go to 32 and you still have cities that are interested and willing to pay fees, then you go, okay, well, do we want to start talking about going to 40 and breaking it up into two leagues? They might even go to 40 and break it up into two leagues that play like the baseball model, where you have, you know, a West League and an East League, and they only meet in the MLS Cup Final. That
then you know what you have? An MLS Super Cup. You have the Super Bowl on one side for the throw ball. And in the football, you'll have the Super Cup, where the winners of one league and the other league face each other.
Best of seven. I just don't see this league stopping because it's the world market. One of the major reasons you see the NBA, well, the NBA is probably the one that could expand the most, but the main reason you see baseball, and particularly the NFL, sort of stopping itself at some point is because there is a limit in terms of how you, until you start really diluting your product. NHL is like that. I mean, there's only, what, 5 countries in the world that really play ice hockey.
Yeah, but the amount of players that you see right now does validate why hockey is going to be up to 34 teams, with Seattle being announced yesterday, is because it's worth it. And look, $650 million for an NHL team. Who said hockey was dead in the United States? Vegas paid $150 million more in 2 years for a franchise worth. And, you know, that's what's driving Major League Soccer too. The expansion fees. Like, it's going to be $500 million eventually if you want to get into Major League Soccer. And all the other owners are happy because that equivalates into their franchise being worth more, because somebody paid for a franchise and paid that amount of money. So everyone's kind of benefiting from expansion. And it's not just about that city. It's not just about that team or those players. It's about the amount of money that somebody is willing to pay for a team, which dictates the value of your team too.
Yeah, no, precisely. It's why I've never really taken them seriously when they say, oh, we're going to stop here. No, you're not. You're going to stop when you feel that you can't get any more money. And yeah. I just think soccer is uniquely positioned, particularly as it relates to all the, if you want to include it as the major sports, if you want to include it, the five sports that have leagues that have multiple cities, and I think you can make that argument that they're part of that as the fifth, then for sure you've got a world market. You might as well just keep going if you're MLS, particularly since it's closed. You can demand these expansion fees. There would be the larger this gets, the more demand there will be for some division in this, and you could even justify it there. Maybe you can start going into smaller market, mid-sized market teams. You're lowering your expansion fees, but going into more of them to get the same kind of revenue coming forward, and then you're saying you're buying a MLS 2 franchise for $40 million or $50 million, which is not Trump change by any means, and then you're buying into the idea that you can eventually promote yourself into the top level. I mean, it'd be so damn complicated to get into Pro Rel and MLS. We've had this debate before. That's why the Canadian Premier League is absolutely bang on to have the plan in place before they start, because that's the problem. Is if these guys bought in at a certain level.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm about to explain this again, but if you're new to us, if you buy an expansion fee with the expectation that you're never getting relegated, then you can't just go, you're going to be relegated next year without facing the potential legal challenges and so forth, unless you negotiate that. You're going to have to figure that out if they ever want to get to that, but they're going to keep going. They're just going to keep going. Because that's how we think about it. If you were them, wouldn't you? If you're an owner of an MLS team and you maybe lost a little bit of money over the years, made a lot of money over the years, and someone goes, "Would you like a check for $6 million tomorrow?"
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that does help my day-to-day operations. If I'm a Joey Saputo or other owners that are not in the profit, I'm like, I'll take it, because it alleviates a bit of the pressure of the last few years. No, of course. And if you look at all those expansions, teams coming in, that's a lot of money coming in for all the owners to help them go through that process. Before we talk about MLS Cup for a second here, Dwayne, the last subject I wanted to talk to you about is the youth work. No one wants to see that. No offense. What a debacle. France Football had their annual gala on a Monday, where they gave out the Ballon d'Or man and the Ballon d'Or woman for the first time, and a Young Players Award, which was basically should be called the Mbappe Award. But let's start with the positive. Men's Ballon d'Or, surprise, Luka Modric won his third best player award this year after winning Player of the World Cup and the FIFA's the best player of the year award. He did win the Ballon d'Or. Messi finished fifth. Yeah, that's so weird.
It's silly, but anyway.
Ronaldo second, Griezmann third. Who was fourth?
It was Salah.
Salah was fourth, and Messi fifth. Yeah, that was not true. But what caught our attention and what created a big controversy is on the women's side. Martin Solveig, who is apparently a DJ. I have no idea. I'm not up with my DJ scene knowledge, but he's a famous DJ. He was hosting the France Football Gala. And Ada Hegerberg, player for Lyon from Sweden, she won the first Ballon d'Or. And there was supposed to be skits. Like, he danced with everyone. So I guess that was his MO for that night, is you dance with the winner. But so the music starts to play, and it was Fly Me to the Moon from Frank Sinatra. And they were supposed to dance on it. And he looks at her, he's like, do you twerk?
So tone deaf. Tone deaf is the way to put it there. Because even if he didn't mean it in a sexual way, even if he meant it in a completely joking way, you've got to be aware of your context and the fact that this is the first woman to win this, and that by merely saying that, you could be suggesting it in a sexual way, and you're sexualizing an athlete at that point. And the reaction was instant. And this is a rare case where no one is accused. I haven't seen anyone say, oh, you're being too serious. You know how you always have that, the blowback and the blowback, right?
Yeah,
I haven't seen any of that.
No,
it's like, no, this is just wrong. You shouldn't have done that. And he apologized immediately after, said he told her that he was joking. And, you know, I don't really want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I will just briefly. Even if he did make a mistake, he needs to be, if you're going to be, you got to be aware of that stuff at this point. And you got to be like,
the way to think about it is, would you ever say that to Ronaldo? Example, it's Ronaldo who wins the Ballon d'Or. What are you going to say? How does it feel, Ronaldo, to win the Ballon d'Or? And she just made a great speech about believing in your dreams, even if people tell you it's not possible. Fight for it, work hard, and achieve your dreams. And the first thing to come out of this dude's mouth is, but do you twerk? No,
well, yeah,
dude, it's about congratulations, about, wow, it's fun to watch you play football. It's about, what is your next dream you want to achieve? Not about... You know, if you were talking about just dancing, which you would never do to a men's athlete, first of all, so it's just wrong there. But to use that one, too, which is like a degrading almost type of dance that you could assume it's not necessarily the most flattering and gratifying dance out there, it's like, oh, this is just so wrong.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm not willing to give him too much of the benefit of the doubt, because a twerk by its very nature is sexualized, right? So at any rate, and you know, if you're someone out there that wants to twerk, then that's your right. But so I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, but to ask an athlete in that particular context is ridiculous. I mean, it reminds me of Jeannie Bouchard when she was asked to twirl after winning a match in the Australian Open. That was a female reporter that asked her that, but it was just the nature of like how they treat female athletes versus how they treat male athletes is just so different. You wouldn't ask, you know.
Would you ask Roger Federer to twirl?
Yeah. No, you wouldn't.
Because he's going to hit you with the racket, you know. If you ask me,
exactly.
I'll kick the Ballon d'Or right between your legs.
Yeah, exactly. And it's unfortunately, we're talking about this rather than her accomplishments, rather than the fact that there is a women's award right now, rather anything. We're talking about this stuff again, and it's just, I don't know, get it together, guys. I mean, I talk on the air every day, and I don't think I'm sure that I've made mistakes before when I talk, but I don't think I've ever made a mistake like that, so it's not that hard to not be an idiot, not to be a pig. It's
just
not that hard, really.
Be aware of how you come off. Even if the intention is not there, you might still come off as a jerk. And guess what? Martin Solveig came off as a jerk Monday night. All right, enough about this stupid controversy. When I say stupid, about this comment, we're stupid. It's okay that it's a controversy. Dwayne, MLS Cup this Saturday, Atlanta or Portland? We've talked about it yesterday. We're going to talk about it today. How you feeling about it today?
I'm increasingly thinking Portland's going to win. partly because it doesn't make sense. There is the MLS factor in this, but I also just like the fact that Portland seems to be a team that has those weapons to be able to counter what Atlanta does. Atlanta, in having watched firsthand a home team that was the favorite 2 years in a row, like they didn't struggle necessarily, TFC, but to watch like how much that there's a double whammy with that home crowd, that expectation, right? And I think Portland has the wherewithal and the ability to defend and to strike on the counter and to do enough striking in the counter to cause problems for Atlanta. So, I mean, maybe I'll change by the end of the week. Atlanta is the more talented team. Atlanta, you know, probably should win this game. But you know, I think that, as I said, the matchup is decent for Portland, and they're a team that plays well on the road, that knows how to play a road game in the playoffs, and knows how to play a playoff game. They've been successful in the playoffs, two of the last four playoffs they've made it to the finals, so as the underdogs. So that's why I'm increasingly not, at the very least, not going to count out Portland. And the other important game Saturday, Kevin, the other important game is, I think Mississauga, having talked to Mobile Bully yesterday, you'll have that interview soon, I think that they're probably going to still have a bit of a learning curve. He talked about how there's a bit of an adjustment to learning the arena game. So that's the other vital game of Saturday. Well, yeah.
First of all, there's not 11 players. A lot less. The goal is a lot smaller, but the keeper's as big. And the pace of the game is very different because the ball bounces a lot. So it's different. Let's put it this way. We'll be back tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, how I feel about MLS Cup. Here. Yesterday I was saying 2-1 Atlanta. I'm not necessarily changing, but I'm more and more convinced now that it might be one of those crazy games that we have seen Portland play. Remember the end of the Portland-Seattle game, the second leg? Yeah, it might go to penalties. It might go to overtime and then penalties. Why not? Let's make it a fun Saturday evening.
Fair enough. 8 o'clock Eastern. I will be at the MetroStars game, as I mentioned. So if anyone sees me there, give me a shout. I'm not too sure where I'm going to watch this, so I might end up watching it at the Montana's in Mississauga, as all the great soccer games
get
watched at.
Dwayne, I hope you don't go to the Paramount Fine Food Center for 8 p.m. because the game's at 3.
So, oh, no, I know that. I meant the MLS Cup.
Good. Because I'm like, you're going to miss the game. But no, 8 p.m. Saturday, MLS Cup on TSN. And RDS in Canada. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie. We'll be back tomorrow with a guest from Atlanta, a guest from Portland, looking at the beautiful game of Saturday evening. As always, you can follow us on social media at SoccerTodaySPN2. And until tomorrow, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Laramie. I'm going to take care of my teeth and have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.